And I don't know about you, but like if I ever tried to rush my daughter, it slowed her down. What? You want me to hurry? Let me take 20 times longer.
Hey, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It. This is the podcast that will help you see life from a new perspective so you can prepare for when life knocks you on your butt without warning and help you to relight that passion within. Then you can live with genuine freedom in line with your purpose, with passion and courage, love and strength to be vulnerable in the face of anything that comes your way. Sounds good. Let's do it. I'm Stephen Webb, and ending up paralyzed at 18, going bankrupt, losing nearly everything, more heartbreaks than I can count. I know how hard it is to turn your life around. Let us help you find inner peace and flip it around when your life is hectic and feels impossible for you. And welcome the most important person in my life for the next hour, my co-host, writer, creative genius, and singing voice that melts my heart, Susan Jackman.
Aw, thanks, Stephen. Hey there, I'm Susan Jackman, co-host for Flip It and Rebuild It, and I'm here to share with you how I have learned to flip that story in my head and use every experience to grow and rebuild my life the way that I want it to be. I've experienced a lot of life and learned many valuable lessons. I do believe I can help someone learn from what I've been through, from how I've overcome childhood traumas to learning to find the silver lining and lesson in every situation, no matter how negative the situation seems to be. It's about finding your peace of mind when life goes to shit, as it often does.
Right, mindful parenting.
Mindful parenting.
So what do you think mindful parenting is?
Okay, you know the quote or the saying where they talk about how the airline attendants tell you to put on your oxygen mask first so that you can help your child, because you can't help your child if you can't breathe. To me, mindful parenting is like that. It's about learning to regulate your own stress and your own emotions and not react in order to be a good example and teach that to your children.
I always use the example of when you got a 3 or 4 or 5 year old child in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. It just wants the ice cream. Mm-hmm. You've got the ice cream there and the child doesn't understand money. It doesn't understand economics. It doesn't understand that he's got tea in an hour's time and his belly will be full. Mm-hmm. It doesn't understand any of those things.
Yeah.
All it understands is it's got a desire for that ice cream and he wants it. So he wants that ice cream. Nothing else matters in the world in that moment. Mm-hmm. See, mindful parenting is recognizing that that's how a child feels. That's what a child sees the world.
Yeah.
A child doesn't see the world from the way where we are.
Right.
We've got a few more years on the child. And in that instance, we often get really annoyed by the child because they're really ruining our shopping experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're busy. We're tired. We want to get the shopping over and done with. We've had to bring the child because they're off school, or we've had to go shopping on a day that the child hasn't got any childcare or something like that. We didn't want to bring the child. We didn't want to get that with them. But the child doesn't understand any of that.
Right.
So we're now annoyed with the child because the child's annoyed. What we think is because we've taken them shopping and all the other things. Mm-hmm. But the reality is the child wants ice cream.
Yeah.
So what does a mindful parent do in that instance?
Well, what you're talking about here is setting limits, in my opinion. Like if it was me and it was my daughter and we were in the store and she started screaming about something, my limit with her is if you ever react by crying for something or whining for something or screaming for something, it's an automatic no. No questions asked. Automatic no. I would honestly take her out and go to the car and leave, even if I had a reason to be there. You know, part of mindful parenting is trying to get to the heart of what it is, you know, what the outcome is, whether that's a punishment or something they want or whatever. Like, what do you want your end goal to be? Like, it's solving the problem, not just reacting out of anger. So I would be like, okay, well, her motivation is to get the ice cream. Yeah. So if you're going to scream, it's an automatic no.
Yeah. So it's teaching the child in that moment that that's not the way to get it.
Exactly.
The way I see it, and I absolutely agree with that. The way I also see it is putting aside the ice cream and putting aside the boundaries and not allowing them to have it because of the reaction, it's more so feelings have come up.
Mm-hmm.
And when these feelings come up, that a child of 4 or 5 years old doesn't understand, they can't distinguish between all the little subtleties. They're just feeling this excitement of seeing the ice cream. That excitement has turned to frustration and anger.
Oh, yeah.
And they cannot explain, well, Mum, the way this is because I'm kind of bored in the supermarket. I'm not really enjoying it. I really like those ice creams on the shelf. And I don't understand money. I don't understand all the other things. And I really want them. And I'm really excited to have one of them. And now you're ruining my life.
Yeah.
you know, in that instance, you've just ruined that whole child's life.
Yeah.
So they've gone from excited to absolutely frustrated and mad and hurt and upset and devastated. Yeah. And then we walk out on them. In that instance, they got all these feelings and then we walk out on them and leave them there. Now they're terrified. Now they're like, oh my God. So I'm feeling all these things that no one understands, neither do I. And now they're walking out on me and now I'm frightened at everything.
Yeah. I really honestly never found myself in that position because when my daughter was really little and I would take her shopping, she knew that at the end of the trip, if she behaved, she would get like a little muffin or a little treat from the, you know, like Targets have like little shops in them. And I would wait till the very end to give it to her, but she knew it was coming and she knew if she was good, she would get it. And I don't know, I never ran into that problem.
Yeah, but positive reinforcement. And that often prevents that problem happening.
Yes, yes.
That's probably why you never run into it.
Yeah.
I've never had it. My stepdaughter was 4 when she moved in. However, I've seen it in supermarkets.
Oh, yeah.
And I've seen parents... And I feel for the parent in that moment. It's embarrassing because there's so many other parents and grandparents and people looking on going, or you feel, and I'm sure some of them do, are judging you on your parenting skills.
Yeah.
So a mindful parent would go, okay, none of them actually matter.
Right, exactly.
The first thing that matters is how I teach my child to respond in these situations.
Yeah, exactly.
So my advice, being an inner peace guide, would be take a little time out, sit down near them, say 5-6 feet away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And wait until they've calmed down.
Yeah, yeah. I used to do that too. Yeah.
And what that does in that moment, A, it calms you down. B, it teaches the child to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of screaming at a child, well, we got no money, you got your tea later, you got all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm tired, I'm fed up with you asking for stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And then we compare them to their brother and all that and say, you know, your brother is not like this. And so we just confuse the heck out of a child. We can allow the child to allow the feelings to arise. And we sit down comfortably next to them and go,
yeah.
Okay, how do you feel now?
Honestly, to me, one of the most important aspects of mindful parenting is letting my daughter know that it's okay to feel what she feels. Like, I'll tell her, it's okay that you're angry right now. It's okay that you're upset right now. It's not okay to scream at people. It's not okay to hit people. It's not okay to be aggressive to people, but it's okay to feel that. If you need time to yourself, if you need to talk, whatever you need to do, that's fine. But your feelings are okay.
Yeah, I just wanted a few seconds for that to sink in because that is massively important.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's to allow a child to cry, to allow a child to be angry, to allow a child to develop these abilities to recognize the different feelings.
Oh, yeah.
Without feeling shame for them.
Yeah, because if you deny the feelings, they're not going to learn coping mechanisms.
Yeah. There's so many adults, especially guys, feel ashamed to cry. They won't cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old man up scenario. You know, if you continue to cry, I'll give you something to cry for. Seriously, that line just sends shivers right.
Oh, I know. I used to hear that when I was a kid. Yeah.
It's quite frightening how normal it is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And quite terrifying how much damage it does.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the most, I think, another important, there's so many important things on this subject, but another one is, you know, like creating a safe environment, which, you know, has to do with, you know, letting them know it's okay to feel how they feel. But that's where trust comes in. Like my daughter's 15 and she trusts me. She talks to me because she knows it's safe to talk to me. She knows I'll listen. She knows that I'm okay with however she feels. Yeah. She knows, you know, I'll help her solve the problem. But, you know, they need that safe environment where their feelings are not invalidated because they are people. They are people just like us. They just don't have as much experience yet.
They're only children for, what, 1/6 of their life, 1/8 of their life?
Yeah.
And the children today, Elon Musk said, I believe it was Elon Musk, said about 8-9 months ago, that the child that's going to live to be 400 years old is already alive today.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So these children under 20 have got a long time to be adults.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know grandparents that still cannot cry, cannot articulate their feelings, that are frightened to, they hold back their anger because they cannot voice it out. There's a whole, and it's not just one generation.
No.
This has gone on for probably the whole of human evolution. For us to be aware, all these complicated feelings inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Mindful parenting and all that, it's not something we got to get back to. It's something really new. Mm-hmm. It's something really that's going to change the next generations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because like it starts with yourself. Like the key, the ultimate key to mindful parenting is learning to control your own emotions. Stress is contagious. Frustration, anger, sadness, they're contagious.
Well, it is. And
the poor kids don't understand what's going on.
No, they have no idea.
Yeah.
Most adults have no idea what's going on inside of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, we expect kids to know exactly what's going on inside of them.
Yeah.
We're explaining to 7-year-old kids the economic structure of the family income. They don't care. They don't understand it. They don't care that you've got no money. They don't know what money is.
Yeah.
All they care about is they have a feeling and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So going back to what you said about creating that space, home should be their sanctuary that they can be whoever they are.
Absolutely. 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 Letting your kids be themselves, I think, is also integral. Like everyone should do that anyway. But, you know, we're trying to teach them emotional intelligence, letting them be themselves, express themselves, feel confident. I mean, I feel like that's the most important thing I can do for my daughter is send her into the world confident about who she is.
Yeah.
She'll learn what she needs to at school. She'll figure her life out. But to send her in the world confident about being herself, like...
And we all want our children to be happy. You ask anybody what they want, they want to be happy. You ask anybody what they want for their family, their children, they want them to be happy.
Yeah.
And yet none of us are happy.
Right. Like we have to teach them that. Like, you know, we can't just be like, oh, just be happy. How do you attain that?
We're still searching for that happy, you know, whatever we do in life, whether it's our spiritual journey, whether it's the success and career.
Yeah.
We're still searching for it. Yet we're trying to bring up the children as a mini us, as if we have the answers.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to the safe sanctuary for children at home, because it's so important what you said, Susan, about them being able to feel their emotions, them being able to, because it's one thing having a child that's frightened of expressing their emotions. It's really bad when you've got adults that cannot express their emotions.
Yeah.
That cannot find their voice, that cannot see the difference between guilt, shame, fear, and all these other feelings that go on. Most adults can only articulate 5 or 6 feelings.
Yeah.
There's 30, 40, 50 different feelings.
Wow. Yeah.
And most of us go from anger to happy to desires, back to pissed off, back to and there seems to be no in between.
Yeah.
And all of it leads from frustration. And where does that come from? That comes from a child. You learn as a child that you cannot express your feelings.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the worst moment, okay, so my daughter is high functioning autistic. When she was young, she would freak out if like her routine got messed up. She was like super OCD when she was little. And it was like the end of the world. And like, I remember she was having a hard year at school. The first year after our divorce, she had a teacher that kind of treated her like she was a problem. But she would hold it in. She'd hold it in because she was like super shy and she like behaved really well at school. And she'd hold it in and she'd come home and she'd just explode and let it all out and just scream and cry and just take it out on me. And I would have to go outside and just take 10 minutes and just breathe and then remind myself, she trusts me to show me how she's feeling. She's showing me trust. And that calmed me down.
Yeah, it's going back to you have to be there, sanctuary. You have to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
My daughter tells me things that I really no stepdad should ever have to hear.
Yeah.
but I know that if she's ever in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
If she ever gets pregnant when it's not planned or something like that, I know she'll turn up here and turn around and say, you know,
yeah,
maybe this is my problem.
Yeah.
Going back to one example of that, I'm going to give two examples of where I wasn't being mindful because I wasn't always a very mindful person. It's quite a new thing to me. I want all the parents out there that are going, oh my God, like.
Oh yeah, it takes lots of practice.
No, I've made all the same mistakes.
I still mess up.
You know, this is me being through these things now saying there might be different ways.
Yeah.
But I remember one time I was in the kitchen and my daughter was doing the recycling. Now, then this meant taking apart cardboard boxes and all that and putting it, flat packing it to put it out for recycling. Well, as a child, I used to go with my dad and do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But my dad taught me to flat pack everything. Mm-hmm. Now, me being in a wheelchair now, I cannot do it myself and all that. That's why I was trying to direct Kemba to do it. Mm-hmm. Now then, Kemba being different to me was having no part of my way of doing things.
Yeah.
So she stood on things. That wasn't right to me. So I started shouting at her. She started screaming back at me. I started saying things like, you know, you're winding me up deliberately. You are deliberately stamping on those boxes. And it might be the case she was deliberately doing it, but it wasn't to wind me up. It was to show me she had some control.
Right, exactly. Oh, exactly.
And I wasn't going to push her around and she wasn't going to be pushed around. And yeah. I am here and I'm a little human and I have my place.
Yeah.
But I seen it at the time as her just being a little brat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was my complete ignorance.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other time that I was mindful, she came, she had about 3 months left of college. And after all the hard work she'd done at college, she came in and sat down and said, you know, I'm going to give up college.
Wow.
And she said to me the reasons why and all that. And I just said, okay. And she said, well, so you're not going to talk me into it. You're not going to talk me out of giving it up. I said, well, are you asking my advice or are you telling me what you're doing?
Right.
She said, well, I'm kind of telling you what I'm doing. And I said, well, that's fine then. I'm not going to, you know, if that's what you've done, if you've made your mind up, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you want to talk about it and you haven't made your mind up, well, then let's do that.
Yeah.
But I was aware in that moment that it wasn't about me thinking, you've done these years, you should go to college. You've got to have this in life. You've got to have, you know, yeah, I was feeling a bit of that inside. Quite a lot of that inside, actually. But it's not my life.
Right. Yep.
You know, she was 19. Mm-hmm. It's her life. It's her life to make her mistakes. Or how do I know it is a mistake?
Right. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've done many mistakes in my life that have turned out a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
So yeah, it comes down to really that home is a sanctuary, and what you say about them being able to have feelings. You just cannot express how important that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that kind of goes along with, you know, the idea of ending perfectionism, teaching your children that it's okay to make mistakes, teaching your children that it's adults make mistakes, that adults are human. I admit my mistakes to my daughter.
Really? I never make any mistakes. Never. Everything's perfect.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm 44, and part of what my stepdad passed down to me was, if you're going to do something, do it right.
Yeah.
And I can remember hearing those words, and whenever they crop up in my mind now, it's like, hello, Andy. And so, hi, Andy, if you are listening. I agree with the sentiment, but the problem is it left me with a perfectionism that I had to get everything absolutely perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
And what the hell is this perfection? It does not exist.
No, it's just unnecessary pressure.
Yeah, it just does not exist. So, you know, this podcast, it's been years in the making for the simple fact I wanted to find a co-host. I found you. We got to know each other. I never thought I'd be able to do it on my own. I would never have thought. And every time we edit it, every time we do it, every time I'm talking, I'm thinking this isn't perfect.
Yeah.
I put an or an R. But really, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
People don't actually care that much.
No.
And that's what we got to give the kids. It's okay to breathe.
Oh, yeah. And slow down, like slow things down, like from your entire life to your morning routine. Get up a little earlier so you're not rushing around feeling like you need to yell at the kids to get their shoes and get their lunch and this and that. Like, just, you know, little kids that they need more time to figure out what they're doing, and they want to pick out their own clothes and they want to pick out their own food. And I don't know about you, but like, if I ever tried to rush my daughter, it slowed her down.
Oh my God, yes.
What? You want me to hurry? Let me take 20 times longer.
Yeah. If you want to be late, tell your daughter to hurry up.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And the thing is, just be late. It's okay sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, they have enough pressure. They don't need
Let them be late for school as well.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's about, we touched upon it with the recycling, but it's about giving them a little bit of control. So allowing them to have the feelings, but allowing them to have some control.
Oh, yeah.
And not too much control that choices becomes ridiculous.
No, yeah. What I always did was, like, if I wanted my daughter to do something, like choose a food, I would give her two choices that I was okay with, but it gave her just enough control that she felt like she was making the decision. And honestly, yeah. I think that's the key with adults too. Like, let them feel like they're making the decision.
Brilliant. There's a really good study that the happiest people have less choice.
Yeah.
And if you've got six or more choices, I cannot remember where the study was. I just remember seeing a video about it. If you have six or more choices, your life becomes more unhappy.
Yeah, I can see that.
If you have below six, your life becomes happy. And there's a number of reasons. A, you're never, if you've got too many choices, you're never happy with the choice.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got less choices, you tend to be happy and settle and make a quicker decision. So we don't procrastinate.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's like if someone says to me, what do you want in the way of a tea if we have takeaway tonight? Well, years ago, it was easy. A couple of choices. Well, we can have everything now. And then everything has everything on their menu. And it becomes just a nightmare. So you imagine saying to a child, what do you want for tea? Now, at that moment, they have a rush of ideas in their head of, A, they don't know what's in your freezer or fridge, but they have a rush of everything they've ever eaten.
Yeah.
And they've got to make a decision out of all those things.
Yeah.
And because they think every one of those things are on the table as an option, they don't like everything you mention.
So, of course, they don't want tea. They want chocolate milk.
Yeah, exactly. Because you've just given them every option in the world that they've ever eaten.
Yeah.
But like you say, that those two options, which is just such a brilliant thing you've done with your daughter, give them two options.
Yeah.
you're helping them to grow because you're helping them to empower them and make decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's why the 11-year-old boy scuffs his shoes when you tell him not to. Refuses mm-hmm. to wear a coat when literally their fingers are falling off. It's freezing cold. There's 7 foot of snow on the ground and they refuse to put their coat on. We think it's because they're deliberately disobeying us. We think it's because they've been just ridiculous. No, they're articulating some control.
Yes.
And yes, they would rather freeze than...
Yeah. Well, I mean, the kids go through several stages where they, you know, they start feeling lots of new emotions that they've never had before. Like a 2-year-old doesn't know what anxiety is. Teenagers are like that too. And like, they've got all these feelings, these new feelings that they don't know what to do with. They don't. And so they need to exert control on their life. And they also start feeling the need to be more independent and be their own person and be autonomous. And that's all it is. It's not personal. They're not trying to get your goat.
No, they're really not. They have no second person perspective.
Yeah.
And they don't develop that until they're 7, 8 years old. And it seems weird. Ken Wilber explains brilliantly that if you sit opposite like a 4 or 5 year old, mm-hmm. with a ball, especially like a 4-year-old, and half of the ball is green and half of the ball is red. Mm-hmm. And you point the red half towards them and the green half towards you. And then you spin it around a few times until the green side's facing his half. Mm-hmm. Now, and he should know the other half of the ball's red and I'm looking at red. Mm-hmm. But if you say to him, what color am I looking at? What color can I see? He mm-hmm. will say the color he's looking at.
Yeah.
And he will say green.
Yeah.
Now, then we look at that as go, oh, my God, how could he not get that?
Yeah.
But it's the inability to be able to see it from another person's angle or perspective.
Yeah.
So when you're saying to a child, you know, see it from my point of view. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got tea in an hour. You've got this. You've got that. The money for the new shoes. No, they're not going to see it from your angle. Mm-mm. So if you want your child to stop scuffing his shoes, change the attention. Mm-hmm. While you're telling him not to do it, he's going to continue to do it.
Yeah.
So don't tell him to scuff his shoes. Just turn around and say, mention something else. Change the subject to school, like we do with an animal. Mm-hmm. You know, when an animal's barking, we change the attention. But yeah, it's about that perspective. They just haven't got it.
No, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You cannot shout it into them.
You know, there's a lot of benefits for children when it comes to mindful parenting too. They've done a lot of research, and kids with parents that focus on mindful parenting, they have less depression, less anxiety, and less acting out.
It doesn't surprise me in the slightest.
No. And I would probably guess that they have higher emotional intelligence at a younger age, because it's all about, you know, teaching them emotional congruency. Some adults don't even have that.
No. And you're saying about higher emotional intelligence. I call it emotional wisdom as opposed to intelligence, because intelligence can be right and wrong and things like that. And so I like wisdom.
That's nice.
It's a very new thing. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, nowadays employers are looking for those qualities in employees. I mean, it's super important.
It's about leadership rather than being a boss. Uh-huh.
Yes, exactly.
You know, as a parent, you're a leader. Mm-hmm. You're not their boss.
No, and you're their, more than anything, you're their teacher.
Yeah. We've been speaking about giving them an open space, giving them a sanctuary, giving them the place to scream, shout, to cry, to articulate these feelings, right? Mm-hmm. So we're cooking tea. The phone's ringing. We have 3 kids. The dogs haven't been out. I'm tired because I spent the night up last night because I've got a cold and I've got one of my children ill and they're hungry. Mm-hmm. The children don't care that I'm tired.
No.
The dog doesn't care that I've got other stuff to do than take him out. How do we stay mindful when everything's going wrong. And all we're feeling inside is sheer frustration because we love our kids, but they are driving us absolutely gritted teeth mental.
Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, when I feel like that, I have to go outside and be alone for like 5 or 10 minutes and just breathe and calm myself down and then go, okay, what do I need to take care of first? What do I need to take care of second? What do I need to take care of third? And you know, a child may not understand that you're tired, but you know, you can explain these things to them. Like, that's another thing. Like, tell your children why, you know, hey, I need you to give me 10 minutes because I need to do this, this, and this. And then you have my full attention. Like, yeah. They can, yeah.
Set them up doing something.
Oh, yeah, 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 distraction.
You know, if your kids are in the front room driving you absolutely mental because they're full of energy and mm-hmm. you're trying to cook tea, go in and turn the telly off. Ask the kids to pick a song each. Mm-hmm. Turn the music up a little bit and let them have a party in the front room dancing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Get rid of that energy. You cannot expect these kids to just sit down and sit on their hands and be really good.
Right.
Adults.
Right. They're not adults.
No, exactly. That is bingo.
No.
From that perspective, we expect them to be good children. Sit down. Wait for me.
Yeah.
On a completely practical sense, the front part of the brain lives off glucose. It's why humans crave sugary things as opposed to animals and other species. Mm-hmm. They haven't got a prefrontal neocortex. Mm-hmm. It's developing, but they haven't got it yet. So the brain, the prefrontal neocortex, is like the run of a litter. It gets fed last.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's starving first. Mm-hmm. So you get to tea time, whether it's you or your children, part that humanizes us, the part that gives us love and compassion and understanding, mm-hmm. is hungry.
Right, yeah.
Someone said to me there, it's hangry.
Hangry, yes, I've heard that.
And you think about anybody that gets really, really cheesy and yourself, how does it feel when you're hungry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what it is. We're craving, and the children are craving, and everybody's craving right before tea, a fix. Mm-hmm. And it's recognizing, mindful parenting is recognizing that the kids are feeling the same way as you're feeling.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah, get them busy. Get them doing something. You know, if you want that 10 minutes, like what you say, you know, you take some time out. Let the kids do whatever they're doing for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, they're unlikely to actually do any real serious damage.
Yeah.
And then come back in with a calmer head. And see how you can, some other way that you can entertain them for 10 minutes while you finish doing what you've got to do.
Yes.
The other thing with children, about children and adults, and that is, I often compare it to a school playground. What, a school's now 1,000 kids?
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah.
it's mind-blowing. This whole example is why it is so absolutely insane. Right, you got 1,000 kids mm-hmm. that have just spent an hour sat on their hands in lesson, mm-hmm. told to concentrate and focus, and they don't know how to do either of them, neither do mm-hmm. most adults I know. If I told you to focus on something for 1 minute, just the same as me, you'd get to about 10 seconds before your mind's wandering. Mm-hmm. So for an hour, we're expecting them to be everything they're not. Sit down mm-hmm. and focus, sit down and be still. Don't say anything to... And then... we let them out to play for 15 minutes. They got all this frustration. They got all this energy. And they're now in a playground with another 1,000 souls with all that energy and frustration.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we expect them all to play nice together, to understand their feelings, to be emotional wise, be really, really good and not disagree with each other, and just everybody to be perfect harmony for that 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yet the staff in the staff room can't do it. You know, it's just mind-blowing. And when we turn that around on its head and realize what we expect of these children.
Yeah.
And that's why home needs to be a sanctuary. That's why home needs to be. When they're angry, they can go, Mum, I'm feeling really angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in a practical sense, when your child comes to you and says, you know, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling angry, what can we do?
Yeah. And it's about not being judgmental toward them about how they're feeling, who they are, what they want, what they think. It's about not being reactive. It's about, you know, like, it, let's say you're in that situation again where you're making tea, trying to make tea, and the dogs are barking, they want to go out, and the kids are running around, and they're just like, ah. It's about not screaming at the kids to shut up. It's about being able to stop and think about it for a second and go, okay, you guys are wound up. I need 10 minutes to finish the tea and the snacks. Go outside, ride your bikes for 10 minutes, and I'll call you back in. It's about being able to think logically about how to solve your problem, instead of just reacting out of frustration and judging them for acting up.
If they're full of energy, don't ask them to do their homework.
Right, right. Oh gosh, we had a rule at my house when Bella was growing up, where like the first hour she was home, she did not have to do her homework. She got to do whatever she wanted for the first hour, whether that was playing or watching TV, which it usually was because she was exhausted and she wanted to veg out. Or play our little games, you know, for an hour. Then we would start the homework.
Yeah. It's really, really important. The other practical sense, when they come over to us, and because the more we allow them to open, the more they find their voice with us, the more they're going to come to us and say, you know, Mum, I'm feeling really angry.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can we do in that instance as well? Well, actually take 3 minutes out and sit down with them and say, explain to me how you're feeling. And you just said it perfectly. Don't judge. Don't think. It's their feelings.
Yes, 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 yes.
Feelings aren't wrong.
Right, exactly. I mean, we don't like it when someone tells us that our feelings are invalid at all. I can't stand that personally. Like, why?
An opinion or belief can be wrong.
Yeah.
But a feeling's not wrong.
No.
It's their feelings. They own it.
Yes. Yes.
So what we can do is ask them some questions about it. Well, where is the feeling to in your body?
Mm-hmm.
What color is it? Mm-hmm. What shape is it?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it there?
Yeah.
And the point is, when we ask these questions, we have to allow the child or even an adult. It really works for ourselves if we do this.
Yeah.
It really just allow them, you know, if yours is red and theirs is yellow, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's about recognizing it as a visitor to our bodies. And if children can, you imagine the child that recognizes their anger is a little red, square, spiky object.
Yeah.
That in the pit of the stomach, whenever they feel wrong or injustified, is that a word? It is now. Injustified. Whenever that arises, you imagine them as an adult, 35 years old, they're at work, a work colleague really does something that is really not fair.
Mm-hmm.
They can go, well, look, this is not fair now, and they can go and punch them, they can go and hand their notice in, they can go and scream at the boss, they can put it on Facebook, do all the other things that we do nowadays. You know, phone the president, do you know what happened to me today? Or we can go, do you know what, that little red square's back.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it here? Let me move it around. Let me be okay with it.
Yeah.
What can I do with it? What message is in that red square box? Nice. And it just gives you complete control over responding. And that's what we're teaching kids, is to respond, not react.
Oh, yeah. And teach them to pause before they respond in anger. You know, noticing how we feel like when we're in a conflict with our child. You know, we have to look at ourselves and go, okay, why do we feel what we feel? Because a lot of times it is what you were saying before. We think they're doing it on purpose. I can't tell you how many times I used to hear my ex say that. Well, she's acting this way on purpose just to push me. No, she's not. Why do you really feel that way?
Yeah. I laugh not because it's never happened to me, because now I'm on the outside of it. I see how many times I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you know what? You're deliberately doing this to piss me off.
Yeah, I felt that way before. And then I'm like, wait a minute.
So if we could summarize how to be a more mindful parent and what's the most important ways of doing it,
Yeah. Being aware in your day-to-day interactions, being aware of your own feelings in the situation, being a model to your child of how to regulate your emotions,
yeah.
pausing and responding rather than reacting, listening to your child,
yeah.
being attentive to your child, treating your child with respect and trust.
Yeah. Don't demand it. You know, if you want respect, show respect. If you want love, yes. show love.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. If you want to be listened to, listen. I think you summed it up quite well, to be quite honest. And it reminds me of when someone says, if you've got a dog, mm-hmm. you get in a dog trainer. Mm-hmm. But the dog trainer is the wrong words because they don't train the dog. They train the owner.
Yes.
To allow the dog to be a dog.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yep.
And that's the point. Mindful parenting is not about bringing up mindful children. It's about you being a mindful parent.
Yes. Oh, yes. I love that. Yes. Yes.
Which gives your children the space, the sanctuary to be children and to understand what's going on inside so they don't have to wait till they're 40 or 50 years old until they hit a rock bottom.
Right. And then go, all right, I got to figure out how to live life now. guilty.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing, this spiritual journey, finding out who we are. Mm-hmm. And that's because so many people drummed out of us who we were.
Can you imagine if all parents could be mindful parents, the huge head start their children would have in life, not having to figure that stuff out on their own later?
You know, we're doing a podcast now and people listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, if they take one thing from it, one line, or someone comments and someone that helps somebody else.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's about having the wisdom as parents that have messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. have we got all the answers? No, far from it. Good kids do not make good adults.
No, yeah. Well, you know that there's a quote. I have no idea who said it. I have the most awful memory. Swiss cheese memory. But there's a quote I've seen a million times, especially around Christmas time I see it. And it's, kids don't want presents. They want presence.
Yeah.
They want you to see them as a person and see who they are. I mean, that's all anyone wants out of life is for someone that they care about to see them for who they are.
Well, if you go and ask any child that is now an adult, what do you remember from your childhood?
Mm-hmm.
They won't say that third or eighth or 25th present they opened on Christmas Day.
Right, yeah.
But they will say when they played the board game.
Yeah.
When they went to the park, when they spent time on the beach.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, mine was, I'll tell you mine. My favorite childhood memory is actually with my dad. I don't remember how old I was, but I was really young. And we drove out to the middle of nowhere to a Christmas tree farm to cut down our own tree. And I remember trudging through like 4 feet of snow. Maybe it wasn't 4 feet, but I was short. Snow up to like my thighs and looking for the perfect tree, cutting it down, putting it in the car. And then we were driving along and we were hungry. And we saw this little restaurant. We stopped and it was a little pizza diner. And I remember it being the best pizza in the world, even though it probably wasn't. Because I was with my dad and we were like singing Christmas carols in the car. And it was just, I remember that. I could tell you some gifts he's given me in the last couple of years, but I couldn't tell you anything he gave me when I was a kid.
Nowhere near so much. They do give us a little instant gratification. They do give us that little pick-me-up. Just the same as the donut in the evening or the takeaway when we've had a bad day.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That little bit of, but nothing lasts as long as actually spending time and listening.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, being a mindful parent, spending time with them, listening to them, loving them.
Yeah.
Understanding them, having compassion for the way they feel.
Yeah.
And remembering what we do speaks million times more loudly than what we tell them.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You know, no more of that practice what I preach, not as I do.
Yeah.
No more of that. Stop crying or I'll give you something to cry for.
Oh, gosh.
You know, the ability to cry is one of the greatest evolved let go of emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have the wisdom of some people telling us not to do it.
Yeah.
It's just funny when we look at it from the outside.
Oh, yeah. It's like, why are we fighting nature?
Yeah.
It's the way we were built.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you, Susan. And where can they get a hold of you?
They can find me on Susan's Inspiration Space on Facebook, which is music, art, inspirational stuff. Got a band page now, too, but there's nothing on it yet.
You have to talk about that next time. You're starting.
Yeah. Hopefully. We're doing some recording, so my songs are inspirational.
Brilliant. Well, you can get hold of me on stephenwebb.com. It's better with me. I help you to find inner peace when, everything's going crazy in your life and your mind's hectic and it never shuts up.
Yeah.
That's when I help you find that little bit of inner peace when you need it most.
Yes. And I would say you're a bit of a meditation guru. I know you don't like that word.
I am the world's greatest meditator. But that's the whole point of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's a good meditator anywhere in the world, really, if all of them are honest.
Yeah.
Yep, just go to Google, type Flip It and Rebuild It, and you'll find us.
Yep.
Leave a review. Help to promote us. We're a new podcast. We're going to come at you every week talking about different things. If you want us to cover a particular subject, let us know.
Yes.
Thank you. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.